Welcome to Osteocast, where we talk all things osteopathy, functional anatomy, and movement. With your hosts, myself, Colby Brokel,
Amanda Boysen,
and Sarah Pucal.
Welcome back to another episode of Osteocast. Today on Osteocast, we are going to jump right in and talk about a question we had from one of our patients. The patient asked, is coughing bad for the body or is it good for the body? And secondly, why when some people have coughing fits or a bad cough, do they have rib issues or pain in their thorax or back afterwards? So to jump right into it, I'm here with Sarah and Amanda.
Hello,
my
hello.
Lovely co-hosts.
Good morning.
And they're going to give us some insights. So what do you guys think about coughing? Is it a good or bad thing in general? And then elaborate into how it may affect the body over time.
So I think this is a pretty interesting topic to talk about, especially as common colds and this time of year come around, because it seems to be that most patients have recently had a cough or has had some kind of symptoms related to this. So when we talk about coughs in general and how it affects the body, that's an irritation of the sensory nerves that can start this inside of the lungs. So that can be one thing. These centers are always controlled by the vagus nerve. So interesting just to think about that pathway, because the vagus nerve comes out at the skull and then travels down through the neck and through the STA and into the thorax. So there's a different connection in terms of how that's being triggered or stimulated. So when we think about treatment and how it can affect the body, there's more than just the lungs included in this and how that's working. And then it's an expulsive force of those muscles around the rib cage contracting to try and push or pump out that cough. So in terms of whether it's helpful for the body, it's the body's way of trying to get rid of or move something through that rib cage that's obviously irritating from the inside out. So then there's also the phrenic nerve involvement in terms of stimulating the diaphragm and allowing the abdominal wall to contract and the diaphragm to contract to push that air out. So when we think about this from an osteopathic perspective, it's good for your body to get through that. But we also, if we're providing treatment for clients, we want to think about looking at the body as a whole and treating from the neck, basically down to the pelvis, in order to create some sort of a change for the client.
Totally. So underlying what you're saying is a cough is very necessary and very important for its purpose, which essentially is getting something out of the airway, I think, is its main purpose. Or if you have an irritated airway, and then obviously the connections, the other things Amanda just mentioned, that's where a cough is valuable, because basically it's a survival mechanism, right? That being said, the patient's question was really leading more so into why does it cause rib pain or back pain or thoracic pain if you have bad coughs or not. And I think that the real kind of thing to mention in that part anyways is that if it's causing some level of pain, or if you have a cough and in quotation marks it throws out a rib, I think that a couple of things. One, there was probably already a lesion present in the thorax that the cough has exaggerated or caused to get stuck, which is why you're feeling those symptoms from it. Or secondly, the cough has been obviously a big enough of a cough or a big enough of a disturbance that the body's already worn down enough from said sickness, whether it's from laying in bed or sitting too much or not having the physical activity or being dehydrated or just your immune system fighting off that cold or sickness, that the body doesn't have the ability or constitution to maintain itself. So sometimes that cough overwhelms the thorax and creates some level of issue there as well. So I think it kind of leads towards the fact that the body at the time is run down a little bit and can't quite deal with itself, or there's already been something present and the coughing has exaggerated it.
It depends where the client is at too, right? If this is an acute thing that just started a day or two ago, you're going to see different presentations than if it's maybe been going on for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. So in terms of health history intake or questioning the client prior to, that might give you some other insight into areas to look for. Because if it is brand new, you do want that cough to be productive in some capacity for the body.
Exactly.
We're not just trying to suppress or take that away, because obviously it needs to move through some sort of a healing process.
Mm-hmm. It's trying to get so some
treatment
junk
just
out.
Changes a little bit in that capacity.
Yeah.
And then mm-hmm. just you want to facilitate that.
It is interesting as that cough becomes more chronic too, just that tissue texture change that will be present. And there would be a development of a little bit of fibrosity through the rib heads, probably through the thoracic spine as well, definitely through the scalenes. As we know, those are used through coughing, deep inhalation, right? Forced inhalation movement. So it will be interesting to see that changes in the body and just how that will change the treatment, as Amanda said, depending on the health history form and where they are through that cough, if it is an acute cold or if it's something that's been a little bit more chronic.
That I was just going to speak on the same thing to the chronicity of it. If it's been something that's been around for quite some time, it makes you question whether it is, like, if it's been a long, dry, chronic cough. I know that I've had patients that have had a cough for years and it hasn't changed. And the symptomology of it, or what makes you kind of question why that's there, is there's such a big playing field, whether it's an actual irritation in the breathing system, whether it's a neurological impingement of some sort or irritation to a nerve that's creating that sensation that you need to cough, or there's a structural thing. There's so many things that play into it. So as Amanda was kind of mentioning, acute or chronic, as far as why the cough is there is obviously very important to know. But there's a point in time, as she said, that the cough is needed to do its job, and that's where it's healthy. But again, if it's causing some level of issue in the ribs or thorax and it's causing that pain where every time you have, after you've coughed a couple times, every time you take a deep breath, you get a pain in a spot in your back. It's something that the cough may not go away until it's time for it to go away, but the job is to support the body, make sure that there's good drainage and movement of the rib cage and the thorax and essentially up and down through the whole body, make sure the diaphragm's working appropriately so that the body can deal with what it's dealing with, get rid of the cough, whether that's some level of infection or whatever the body has to deal with, and then, of course, the structural side to deal with the aches and pains that come with it.
And I think it's an important point Amanda mentioned at the beginning about the vagus nerve. So checking through that line, checking through the pathway of the vagus nerve. So starting at that OA joint and then working your way down, making sure that there isn't any lesions or any dysfunctions happening through the body that's also going to continue that irritation pathway.
And from the client perspective too, when it has turned into more of a chronic cough scenario, it's really important that you do all the basic things really, really well. Your body is obviously still run down, still fighting something, or not able to clear that last little bit. So making sure you're staying hydrated, you're keeping moving in whatever capacity you can, and making sure you're eating well are very important things to help fuel your body so that it can do that work.
So if we had a more chronic cough come in, so let's say somebody who suffers from COPD, for example, what would you guys expect to find, I guess, differently than someone who's more acute or maybe who's had a bad cold that's run on for a few weeks? Is there anything different in the treatment process you would consider?
Yeah, when you have someone who has a chronic respiratory issue that may create a cough or may create other things, depending on what that respiratory issue is and knowing what our capabilities are to assist it or if we can help it at all, is kind of the biggest importance to it. And for us, what I'm expecting to see in a patient who has had something for years opposed to 3 or 4 days is the, just like any other chronic lesion pattern, the development of backlog and engorgement of fluid, which then leads to a buildup of waste product and changes in cell histology, so changes in the tissue itself, which will come with some level of fibrosis or thickening. So I often would see, for example, with what you're talking about, someone who has a chronic respiratory issue, you see a thorax that doesn't move very well. Usually I would find it shoulders elevated, head pushed forward, because they're using their shoulders and traps and scalenes to help with breathing, those secondary breathing muscles, because the intercostals and the thorax itself has stiffened up a little bit. So instead of seeing that rib cage expand in all directions with each breath, you're seeing the whole thing slide up and down with breath because of a lack of the change in position of the thorax itself and the pliability of the thorax. That's the most common thing that I would see, is that that entire thorax shifts up and down instead of having the full expansion of it in those cases.
So it depends on the age of the patient as well, because typically with patients who are more elderly or are getting older, you also start to see some form of a barreling of the chest at the bottom or of the rib cage at the bottom. So you'll start to see that that just kind of comes into more of an expansion and stays there, as opposed to getting that fluid breathing mechanic. And that can become fairly rigid. So the tissue texture in and around that area tends to become very rigid. And then the things that follow with that are some of the things that you were mentioning, Colby, which is like lack of fluid movement, inability to eliminate waste properly. And that sometimes you'll start to see bowel movements be an issue because they don't have that forceful contraction, through their body to be able to pass a bowel movement. So It's interesting when we start to talk about the rib cage specifically for this podcast, there are other things that start to happen when that shape starts to change and you start to use that rib cage differently that necessarily aren't to do with breathing.
Yeah. And when you mentioned the barreling with the elderly population, the mechanism for that, to my thought process anyways, is that they lose the use of their upper thorax, whether that's because of being sedentary or other reasons. So their diaphragm has to expand in some direction. So you see the lower ribs really start to flare out because the diaphragm's working hard to maintain oxygen levels and carbon dioxide levels. But I think it's because they lose the ability to use their shoulders, because this is just an observation and this isn't a one size fit all thing, but a lot of elderly patients, they don't use their shoulders as they should. They don't reach overhead still. They don't maintain good positions and movement patterns for their shoulders and shoulder girdles, which then limits the range of motion and movement of the upper ribs. And then the lower ribs are relied on, especially the lowest 11 and 12 are relied on for good movement patterns from the diaphragm. And you get that barreling of the chest and the bottom side, because that's where there's space for the diaphragm to move.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah. Cause you definitely see it in clinical practice that when that starts to happen, those upper ribs either sit in a like half exhaled position or a fully exhaled position most of the time. And I find that there's no movement there. And often that's paired with like almost a little bit of a winging of the scapulas, as those shoulder blades kind of come out to the sides and their shoulders roll in and forward. And there's some compression through the clavicles and the sternum.
Yeah, exactly. It just shuts that whole, and I don't know if it's because of sedentary or if there's other things that add to it, but it shuts that whole upper girdle down and it relies on the lower girdle or the lower part of the ribs to do its job. And then that leads to a whole other list of things, as you were starting to talk about, Amanda, but we don't have to get into that today.
Yeah. Oh, it's so interesting. Yeah. Everything, like we talk about with osteopathy all the time, everything matters for good health. So when we're talking about rib cage mechanics, it's important that what's above and below and around is moving well, whether that be bony structure or tissue or fluid movement, so that that area can do its job the way that it's supposed to.
Well, that's always the tricky thing that we run into while doing the podcast, is like, how do you have some conversations about specific topics to hopefully spark interest or help in the listeners, but at the same time, always circle back to the principles? Because if we only talk about osteopathy and principles without any detail, it would always just be, yeah, assess everything and treat everything that's not quite doing its job. Mm-hmm. So if you guys are ever listening to us and wondering, well, why would you do that and not treat the whole body? We always are looking at osteopathy truly and staying true to the profession and looking at the body as a whole, but we're trying to break it into different contexts just so that we can share information to you guys.
And it is difficult for us to not jump into now how the whole pelvic girdle and pelvic floor would be affected by that barrel abdomen. But As Colby said, we won't get into that today, but it's full body mechanics go down the line.
Because then every episode will just be, yeah, so let's treat everything and make sure everything's lined up. Just like Dr. Still said in his books, right? He's like, adjust everything from the, you know, the cranium to the tailbone and the body will be fine. And it's like, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, cool.
That's awesome. Thank you guys for listening to us today talk about coughing and breathing a little bit. If you have any questions or if you know way more about this than we do on this topic, shoot us a message. Let us know what you know, because we're looking always to learn and improve our thought process, and then of course helping our patients as well. So give us a shout at osteocast_ on Instagram or osteocast on Facebook if you'd like to give us some help or some information. Otherwise, we will talk with you guys next week. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Chat soon. Bye.